Morning and greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Timothy, or Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we're coming into the time of year here where it was the beginning of Christ's life. But as Christians, that's not where we stop. That's not where we focus our focus on. Our focus is more on probably his return than his birth, because we knew the birth had to happen before the return happened. But this morning again, I want to encourage everybody to keep looking up, because he will return someday, and may we be ready for that. I was blessed to be here this morning already, and I just like to just thank everybody that made mention and has prayed before they came here for the service. Because one thing that prayer does for a person is makes us God conscious. And this morning I just trust that the Holy Spirit again is here, and I want to thank him for prompting your minds to pray for the service this morning and making you God conscious of your own life. This morning's message is, the title is Moved with Compassion. Move with compassion. I shared this message before, but it was in a complete different light than what it is this morning. One of the things I want to just mention in the beginning of this is that I do not distract or take away from the passion of compassion. If that makes sense to you. That you don't get distracted, that compassion and the acts of compassion is a part of a Christian's life, and it must happen. Your passion for the reaching out must keep going forward. In Matthew 9:36, this is Jesus is explaining, or is talking about this, and he says, I'd like to just read a few verses in that. Our key verses, or our main verses, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted, scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I'd like to just read a few more verses there. It's really amazing how Jesus taught and how he went about to share his compassion. And by the way, that is why we experience Christmas and the return of Jesus Christ, was all because in the beginning, his compassion was so great for humanity that he chose voluntarily to leave the realms of heaven, come down, and then we have this Christmas story. And it was all based on his compassion towards mankind. When he would teach, he would do a number of different things under the umbrella of compassion. But the theme of his reaching out was way beyond that. If you ever think about it, so he tells this story of what he is seeing in these people. He would reach out and he would heal people and he would take the blindness away. Was it because his heart was so touched that they were in pain? I think it was, but it goes way beyond that. It goes way beyond that. There was a group of people there that stood there and were fainting and didn't even know it. They were starving for hunger because they didn't eat and they didn't even know it. There was a group of people there that seen Jesus as a stumbling block. The words they used was in verse 34 of chapter 9 of Matthew. It said, but the Pharisees said, he casts out devils through the prince of the devils. That's who they viewed him. He was just a distraction in their life. It was a hindrance to their system. And Jesus went about to the cities and the villages in verse 35, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's what I'd like to just, again, just note, that is the call for the Christian. But I'd like to just take this just a lot further. Just simple definition of compassion, a feeling of wanting to help somebody who is sick, hungry, or troubled. That's a sort of a surface definition? The deeper definition would be a sympathetic consciousness of others' distress, together with a desire to reduce or change the pain or trouble. To reduce it, to make a difference. Turn with me to Lamentations. I would like to just read a few verses out of Lamentations in the beginning here. Lamentations chapter 3, if you have Bibles and would so desire to follow reading. This chapter is a very gloomy chapter. It is a rather mind-provoking chapter if you read through it. In the first part of the chapter, and I will not read all of it, I'd like to start at 17 and read to 36, but the very first verse of that chapter says, "I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath." Simply this individual is saying that I was wrong, and I feel the affliction of the God who set law in order. I feel this grief and this pain. In Lamentations, there's two verses that I like to highlight, and that is verse 22, where he says, and this is just viewing God's compassion towards mankind. This gives us just a little glimpse of who he is. Verse 22 reads this way, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, but his compassion faileth not." And in verse 32, "But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." Let's take time and read from 17 to 36. This is after he tells how he looks. And if you read the verses before, he's a pretty pitiful man. One of the verses says that there was, even the very looks of his face are distorted because of the gravel that were used to reform his face. In 16, he says his teeth were broken out because of stones. He's giving a really a bleak picture. He's full of arrows. In verse 12 and 13, he says the arrows from the mighty, his quiver was full of arrows, and now they're sticking through him. It's giving us a picture of what man actually looked like in God's eyes. Verse 17, "And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remember mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recalled in my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth to the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he causes grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men, to crush under the foot all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man to his cause, the Lord approveth not." And if you look that up, in other words, he's saying these few things: the grief that he's caused, the affliction, the crushing of man down here on earth, the turning aside of him that would call him, and it's a subduing or turning the right thoughts from man. God does not approve of this. This is not who God is. Even though he just gave us a picture of where he was, he said, that is because of what I have done. In Lamentations, he's giving us a picture of something that is... All right, I'll tell you a little story why this message came to my heart. I had a message on my mind. I was really desirous of preaching it, and it just felt like the Lord didn't... I don't know if y'all know how, the ministers know what I'm talking about. I had a conversation with an individual, and out of my heart of compassion, we were talking about things that happened in the past, and in ignorance, how he chose a path of life that was corrupt, it was wrong, it was perverted before the Lord. And with that, there's results of the yoke of the youth that those people are still bearing, his children. And as we were talking about this, there's something within me that wants to say that, well, that is okay because it was in ignorance. It was not in ignorance. But the truth of it is, friends, God has set the law in order, and it cannot change no matter how much compassion you have. The yoke will be borne that is put on the man's shoulder. I wanted to tell the man, well, it's okay that should be okay if they live their lives that way because, you know, they didn't know better. But friends, that is not what the Word says. My passion this morning is that our compassion is not an overriding and an excuse for anything outside of God's set law and order. He has set an order. He has compassion. He is a merciful God. He has put all these blessings in order if we follow them. But remember, wherever compassion is used in the Bible, there's a story of pain, of choices, right before that. Jesus came onto the earth. And he says many, many times, it's in numerous times, in Matthew 14:14, he says, and Jesus went forth and saw the great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. That was an outward thing that they were struggling with, but his passion was that they would accept the yoke. He did not all of a sudden say, hey, disciples, you're free from the Roman rule. Why were they under the Roman rule anyhow? Friends, it was because they turned their face towards their loving God. That is why they were under the Roman rule. See, when the disciples came together and Jesus started talking about a kingdom, there was a sense of overjoyed whelm that went over the disciples. And they were thinking, finally you are going to take us out of this yoke of our youth and you're going to set us onto something that is ours. We can get rid of this thing and we can be our own people. But Jesus said, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. He looked at the Pharisees and he said, friends, why are you so concerned about the outward thing and are so rotted on the inside? He would heal people because he said, this is what you really look like. But they did not get the concept. They did not get the concept that they were the blind people. They were the deaf people. They were the ones that were crippled. They were the ones that had leprosy. And he was healing all these people to try and pass a message on to the group that he really desired to have. So he didn't release them under the Roman rule. He left them there. The compassion of Jesus was much greater than the yoke of the youth that was set upon the people at that time. His compassion was that they would not override the rule that was the law that was set in place, but rather that they could accept it and make the best of it. Accept it and make the best of it. In Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. I will not send them away fasting lest they faint by the way. It's another sample or another part that he was talking about. He's seeing this group that was fainting, and it wasn't really because they didn't have bread. There was a much greater fainting that was happening. Matthew 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mark 1:41, and Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hands and touched them and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. And get this, every time that he was doing these miracles, there was this group of people that was watching him and observing what he was doing, secretly marveling in their hearts. In their minds, like, how's this happening? And yet, the conclusion of when they had to speak forward, they denied the whole fact. And they would turn their back towards him and say, no, you're just a carpenter's son. We know who your mom and dad is. You're not spiritual. You're not sent from God. You're just a carpenter's son. in Mark 5:19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great a things the Lord hath done for thee, and that he had compassion for thee." And I'd like to just turn to that. There's a few more verses that I'd like to read out of that. This is the story of the man that was, he had the devils in him, and he was called Legion. I think we all know the story very well. But there's something there that I'd like to point out in how Jesus was, he healed this man. He took his infirmities and changed them, but his yoke didn't leave him. He was still in that city where these people were that knew him. He was still in the city. Could you say he was left to his old life? Not necessarily, it wasn't in a tomb, but he was sent back to his house, and he said, accept where you are, accept the criticism that you're going to receive, because there was a lot of damage done by him in that city. Men knew him. There was many people that when they saw him walking were just astonished, because they were in the ones that had helped trying to chain him and put him out. And he takes and he says, no, you can't go with me. And I wonder what went through that man's heart, through his mind. Oh, Jesus, come on. Loosen me from this yoke of bondage or this yoke of my youth that I'm under. I have made many mistakes in this city. Why do I have to go back to that city and live there? His testimony was this: go home and tell those people the true compassion of Jesus Christ. Don't take away from the yoke that you are to bear, but rather accept it and put it to good use for the Lord. He says also in Mark 6, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were like sheep having not a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. In Mark 8, 2, I have compassion upon the multitude, and that is Jesus again talking about a hungry group of people. In Luke 10:33. Is the story of the Samaritan. I'd like to just change that picture just a little bit. Oftentimes when I read this story, it's about, the question is, are you the Samaritan, or are you the high priest, the priest that walked on the other side? But I'd like to just change that picture just a little bit. Friends, you're the one in the ditch. And the Samaritan is Jesus. He is so wanting to help us get up out of the ditch. The rule, the law, the God's law is set in order, and the things that we do in life. The man that was traveling from one city to the next without having the proper protection around him was setting himself up for trouble. And friends, that is me. That is me. I find myself doing this again and again. That is you, friends. When we slowly get away from the Word of God, we are taking those protections away, and we decide we're going to walk from Jerusalem to Jericho by ourselves. And we fall. We fall. And we end up in the ditch with a yoke of our youth upon us. And Jesus said, the Samaritan comes along and he lifts him up and he takes him to the inn. But there were scars that went with that man the rest of his life. He never forgot how it was to decide on his own that I'm going to travel this distance by myself. He never forgot that. Friends, I am convinced that the next time he made that journey, he took Jesus Christ with him. He took Jesus Christ with him. He took the Samaritan with him. Compassion. Let's just look at the compassionate heart just a little bit. Some of the things, I have 4 points here that I'd like to just bring out. The compassionate heart is prepared by God through Jesus Christ. The compassionate heart is prepared by God through Jesus Christ. Friends, we cannot move from the state of the ditch where we're at until Jesus puts this heart of flesh in us. And he says, in Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart also will I give you, and a spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart out of your flesh and will give you that heart of flesh, that heart of stone. He replaces it. Now we know that. Jesus Christ's blood is the only one that can do that. He takes the stoniest heart and he melts it down to where it's pliable. A compassionate heart is one that is willing to accept that he made a mistake. See, compassion is great. And friends, this is what I'm much blessed about this morning. The man that walked from Jerusalem to Jericho, do you think he had a story for the next person he saw walking that road by himself? He did. He had something to tell. Friends, this morning, the experiences in life are embarrassing. They are. When I decided to walk from Jerusalem to Jericho and I found out that I couldn't do it, that's embarrassing. It's probably a story that probably won't be said much. But friends, why? Why do we do that? We're probably geared a little bit like the priest. We have a little bit too much pride to admit that I actually did that. But friends, the blessing that I want to share with you. I heard a message on repentance. And the man simply, all he did was shared his life story. And he was crying with it because he was so embarrassed that he would actually do this. But friends, the people that were touched and blessed with that was way out of his control. That's compassion. That is compassion. Compassion is not worried about what you're going to say about my yoke of my youth, but rather the outcome of it. What does it look like? Is he burying it under shame and hiding, trying to hide under it? See, the yoke isn't that big, but we try to hide under that yoke. We can't hide under the yoke of our youth. It is obvious. Friends, let's tell the good that's coming out of my yoke of my youth. John 3:5, Jesus answered, "Verily I say unto you, except the man be born of water and a spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." And again, this is the compassion that Jesus Christ had, that the kingdom of heaven is where everybody wants to enter, but friends, no stony heart will enter there, or nobody that decides that it can accept a change other than God's law and still be right. I'll tell you another little story. Maybe I shared this before. I was working with an individual that had a much different life path than I did. Very different. He grew up in a home where his dad was a very, very good drug dealer. He lived in a home where the meth lab was in his basement. And he was introduced to some things that were very sad at a very young age. And he grew up to be a very violent young man, and he ended up spending jail time quite frequently. I think at the age of 16, he had an adult sentence on him already. So you can get a little picture of what this man was going through. In the second term in jail, he had a long sentence ahead of himself because of what he did. He was touched by a man that shared his story in the jail cell with him. There was another minister that was, or I'm not even sure if this man was a minister. Let me take that back. He was a church-going man that decided to go visit jail, and he shared a yoke of his youth story with this man, and he said, "Really? I can do that." And he made a change in his life, but he came out of jail, and he worked with us on our crew. But one of his, and I won't judge him for this because he was growing. I'm convinced that he was not in the path that I was, at the area where I was. His theory was that he could possibly sin right now a little bit more than I can because of our two different backgrounds. You get what I'm saying? Some of his addictions, it would be okay if he would just dip in it a little bit. Not much, just a little bit because of he had such a rough life. There's something within a person's heart that the man compassion, that feeling of desire that he would be accepted, that he would have something different in his life, gets so strong that you almost think that would be good for him. You know, that he could just experience a little bit of acceptance, even if it's with his rotten friends. Well, friends, the law of God says that that is not accurate. That is not truth. Holiness is holiness. And he says, without that, you won't get to the kingdom. Let me back up. With a little piece of stone in that fleshly heart, there will be infection and there will not be pureness coming out. And I tried to explain that to him, and he disagreed with me a little bit. He was rather on his path. He sort of liked some of the stuff that he was still in. And unfortunately, he did it a couple times, and we would have long conversations after he would do that, and he'd feel all bad about it. Beside the point, friends, a heart of flesh is one that changes the path, does not go back to the path. We do not go back and get another yoke of our youth. Friends, we turn away from that. There is a sense of a compassionate heart is a repentant heart, a forgiving heart, a heart that sees God as pure holiness, and without that, we can't see him. In John 3:27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except he be given it from heaven. This was a discussion about Jesus and who he really is. And John the Baptist said that if a man is doing righteousness, we don't have to try and put him in certain categories. If a man is doing righteousness, I'm saying righteousness. I'm not saying just talking righteousness. I'm saying doing, living righteousness. He says that is from heaven. That is a man that has come from the place where the yoke of his youth is not guiding him. See, take this. Let me draw this picture for you. A yoke is something that you push against and you're in control of that yoke, right? A child of God with the yoke of his youth is not being pulled around by the yoke. But you will be taking that and putting it where you have made your choice to take it. We don't have to be brought down low and discouraged under the weight and let the weight of that yoke pull you wherever it needs to go. And gravity will take you downhill. Compassionate heart is one that is willing to accept God's discipline in one's life. And this is the part that I really want to just emphasize just as much as we possibly can without boring you with just the same old, same old. Compassion of the heart may never override or change the law that God has set in place. The prophet that wrote Lamentations, you realize that he wasn't actually experiencing some of those things, but he's seen the people. He's seen his fellow. He knew where he was at. He knew that he had actually went through that himself, and he was in that right then. He could have easily said to the people there, he said, you know, it's not that big a deal. You guys are not that bad. You know, it's not that big of a deal. But friends, he came straight forward and he said, God has cut you off. He has cut you off. There is no way that you will move from earth to heaven successfully unless you accept the thing that you were wrong and that compassion is still of God. And he says, accept. And God would make this plea with them. He would say, my law is set in order, and with the righteousness that I am, the holy God, I cannot change that for you. I cannot change that for you. But I would just plead with you that you would change. That's what he would tell the children of Israel again and again. Friends, this morning he is calling that to us again. He's calling Great Lakes again, that my law cannot be changed. I cannot make an exception for something that is written in the Word because of the compassion of my heart. That deep feeling, that feeling of grief and woe that I feel when I see somebody that is not living, and maybe even their story of life is so impressive on our hearts. But friends, if the Word says no, then I must say no and live by that and stand by that. In Deuteronomy 30, I'd like to read a few verses from there. Deuteronomy 30, verses 1 to 6. And this is Moses just confirming the righteous judgment of God and the outcome of a yoke that is leading people instead of us being responsible and taking that yoke and just leading forward. And it came to pass when all these things, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the cursing which I have set before you, that thou shouldest call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And remember, this driving has happened because an individual has decided that, well, if you would read the verses just before this, he said, I left you to rot away in your land, and I was upset at you because I set my law in order and you did not heed to it. You decided to somehow try and make your own laws. He says, and call them to remembrance, and whither the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shall return unto the Lord thy God, and shall obey his voice according to all that I have commanded thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return, gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of the earth, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possess, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all that thou mayest live. It is the compassion of God's will for our lives, is that his compassion, his desire is so great, and yet he sees this tendency of drifting away, and that he's going to have to drive us apart. He has to bring us to the place where we understand who he is. I would like to just bring a little bit of picture into this, into discipline in my life. Recently, I was thinking of the thing of why do we experience some of the things that we experience in life? Why does it seem like society is falling apart? Why does it seem like there's things in church that could be different? And I was wondering how much of this plays into it. Think of this just a little bit. When man will not heed to the warnings of his disciples, God will give them over to the nations. Think about that just a little bit. And I'd like to just bring that into our home just a little closer. It seems like there's probably three homes that are emphasized on most, and you see the outcomes of these a lot. Compassionate hearts. There's nothing wrong with compassionate hearts, except if they override the warnings that God gives to his people. One of the homes that you will see is a home that is representing the past home of rough violence, the copy of something that you didn't want to do, and yet by focusing on it, that's where we head back into. The other one we will see is probably one that maybe came out of a home of a pretty rough, ungodly possibly, and changes into, well, I'm so compassionate and will not discipline at all. Another one you will see is one that has come from a stable home, and even though the heart hurts, the discipline still happens. What I want to say is there's a temptation that creeps probably upon all fathers and mothers, ones in authority. When time of discipline needs to take place, there's something that happens. Either you will react out of frustration and then it just goes wherever. Or there is another one that acts out of, we call it compassion, and rightly it is, but I don't know if it's channeled right, because we will change our rules to accept that compassion that's burning within us. And with that, a child is taught that discipline is not necessarily certain. The heart of God is so compassionate for us that he is saying that discipline is certain. But somehow we train children and I am convinced that we have things that we are reaping from because of this very thing. I'm convinced of that. That we change our rules, and therefore we teach a child that God's compassion is only, well, if it's bad enough, he will change his law to accept where you're at. But friends, that's not how it is. That's not how it is. When we fail because of this compassion in our hearts, and This is another one. I'll just tell you this story. I'm talking to a man that he was separated from his wife and living by himself. And he came to me one day and he was telling me a story that he has taken on one or two other women and he's letting them live in his house. I said, how do you justify that? How do you justify that? Well, they were needy. And that is right. That is right. But is that right? Is that okay? I told him, that's not okay. I get it that you are compassionate and you have a feeling for them, but that is not okay. But friends, how many times do I come so close to that very thing? Under the umbrella of compassionate, I let things slip and accept them, even though the word says, that's not okay. And God says, I am not okay with that. I don't accept that. We have that. When I do that in my home, when I do this in my home, one of the things I will do is I will hand my children over to so that the nation will have to correct them. Do you ever see that? Friends, we know and we have seen that. All because of something in the past. Maybe it was an individual that was, quote, so compassionate that they could not deal out discipline. They have left their children come to the place where eventually the society will take control of it. There's people, there's men, there's women that are sitting in jail that could tell you story after story of that very thing because mom and dad never said no and didn't move. But out of a heart of, quote, compassion, well, they desire it, and so they broke in. God is not that way. In Lamentations, let me just read that verse again. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. Accept the choices that you have made and just be okay with the consequences that come along. In Psalms 94:12, blessed is a man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Psalms 119:71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted that I might know thy statutes. That is in a physical sense. I was talking about the home, but friends, it impacts the spiritual side of a person so heavily. Compassion is a choice of action that does start in the heart. When the Samaritan traveled, he had a choice to make. He did. He could either keep right on walking, or then he could stop and do something about it. And that is one thing I'd like to just impress upon us again. A compassionate heart. Compassion comes in different sides, but the Christian that is viewing compassion like Jesus Christ has, it's not an option. It's mandatory, but it is your choice whether you're going to do it or not. It starts from the heart. Because a stony heart that is infected will make compassionate choices based on his own lustful desires and his own way of thinking instead of channeling it through God's view. And the last one is a compassionate heart is observant and willing. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them and he healed their sick. In Luke 15:20, he says, and he arose. Now this is, you know this story. This is the man, that the boy, the prodigal son. And it says, he arose and came to his father. Now, that was one side of the story. And this is the other side of the story. And when his father, seeing him yet afar off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. See, there's a number of actions. See, compassion is not one of the things that we can think about and say, oh, that is terrible. That is terrible. See, that is the compassion. That is the compassion that feeds yourself. Oh, that is terrible. I wish things could be different for that individual. I wish he wouldn't have to go through that. That's great thoughts. That is a compassionate thought. But friends, the compassion that Jesus had and he taught us is not, it doesn't stop with that. Oh, that's sorry, that's bad. But rather, go forward. Friends, sometimes it's very humiliating because sometimes you share your own compassion and it's not exactly what is needed, but that's okay. That is okay. It's still showing your heart. Sometimes you are into a situation where you are required to answer because of the compassionate heart you had and you entered into the subject and now you have to answer it. It takes you out of your comfort zone. But friends, that is compassion in action. You observed it. You know it's there. And now are you willing to be the feet, the hands, and the mouth of Jesus? And tell others how compassionate he is for you and for them. Shall we pray?
God, Heavenly Father, as we pause in your presence again this morning, Lord, I thank you so much for your compassion. Father, we thank you and praise you for forgiveness, for giving us the strength of repentance. Father, that the yoke of our youth does not control us, but Father, there are things that we all have done in our past, and Father, you're just asking us to be accepted in your mercy, accepted in your compassion, and move forward. And Father, this morning I just pray that if anybody is here that is not moving forward because of distractions of the past, Father, I just pray that their hearts would be touched with your compassion and that they would show compassion out beyond the circumstances of life. So Father, I just pray that you would give us wisdom, you would give us strength, oh Father, that we would do and say those things and raise homes that would be showing forth your judgment and your law. Father, I just pray that we would do these things not out of man's perspective, but Father, out of your watching over us. So Father, I just pray you would bless us, guide us, and strengthen us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.